the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. The story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all.
They couldn't score and fell flat, and the 40-something goal is a little deceiving. Yeah. And even though they had some really good opportunities, surprisingly, they need to play with that intensity. If those last 3-4 minutes, the Rangers sometimes don't play at their best level against lower-tier teams.
Here's Johnny!
Nope, this is Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, here on the Bleed Blue Show.
Yes, we are, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. And guys, we're going to have a good episode of with our blue shirts and the Carolina Hurricanes heading into a game 6 on Wednesday. And also, on top of that, the other games, we'll talk probably towards the end of the episode as far as Boston, Florida, with Florida with a commanding lead in that series, and as well as Vancouver over Edmonton, and as well as Dallas dominating right now over the Colorado Avalanche, especially those games in Denver. But this is primarily going to be a heavy Rangers show. And matter of fact, real quick before I, you know, bring on RP and the guys, I'm really severely behind on the baseball. I'll catch up on that probably in the next couple of weeks with the baseball or Major League Baseball. I've been behind. No problems with that. The Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum resumes 8 p.m. on Wednesday. We'll talk some NBA and some basketball. If you catch the old episode last week with the guys, with Chris and the gang on the Big Blue Roundtable, you can check out that episode from last Thursday. They'll pick it up with the Blue – not the Blue Shirts, with the Giants subsequently next Thursday. I'm not sure if we're going to be doing a show this Thursday on just the NFL, but that's going to be definitely in the works throughout the entire summer with the rest of the NFL. So, RP, what's going on? How you doing? We got Carl, we got Glenn with us. We have no time to jump, waste time. So, you know, through 5 games, this is kind of where it should be, right? Rangers should be 3-2 in 5 games. Mm-hmm. But how we got there is kind of surprising a lot of Rangers fans. But how you doing, bro? How's everything? Let's get Carl and Glenn on. But how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing fine. I'm still confident. I agree with what you said. It's where we should be. It's just how they got there. If they would have split in Carolina, you know, and they would have lost game three and won game four, it'd be a different story. You know, it is the three-game lead. So we're fine. I think the day off is going to help, but I think Rangers Twitter, chill.
Yeah, I have a big beef with number 4. We'll talk about it, but let's get Carl on, get going. Carl, what's up, man? How you doing? Real quick, how you doing, man?
Pleasant good evening, gentlemen. I may have apocalyptic thoughts in my mind, but you know,
shocking.
We'll have time over the course of the next hour to discuss.
Sounds good. Glenn, what's up, man? How you doing, man? How's everything?
Well, I'm still a little deflated from last night, but still optimistic that they're not going to let the worst happen. It was disappointing last night when you're 20 minutes away from the Eastern Conference Final to see what I thought was pretty uninspired lack of energy play for most of that game, and certainly in the third period. I thought they were lucky to go to the third period leading 1-0, and it was just deflating to see how it happened, especially at home. But I got a list of things that all the other guys probably have too. You started it off with how we got to 3-2, even though we probably figured that this is where we'd be after 5 games. But I'll hold off on that until we get into the meat of the show.
Right, let's do that. RP, here's my beef. And my beef is what Glenn was saying as far as bad as we were playing, the Truba shorthanded goal gave us the 1-0 lead. So my thing was kind of defensively whole serve, and we probably get out of this thing in 5. That did not happen, and primarily the defenseman killed us in Game 5 at home. And what is up with the team in the Garden with these bad Game 5 home losses in, like, the last 10 years between the Knicks and the Rangers? More so the Rangers. We can go back to the Tampa Bay games, losing Game 5 to them in 2015. So I have this something about this Game 5 at the Garden is really not in our favor, but nonetheless – I have big beef with the defensemen and how they played defensively the last couple of games. Your thoughts, RP? I really am disgusted with Schneider, how he handled that with Stahl, and how the rebound goal off the Knessa rebound goal to get the insurance goal. But, man, if the defense held serve, we probably move on. But what are your thoughts, RP? And we'll go to Carl and go to Glenn after that.
really quick. Here's my analysis of the last game. It wasn't the defense, and it wasn't the offense. It was the entire team. Schneider losing his man, let him go, still go around to tie it up. It was a bad play by the defenseman. We all know, take the body. The go-ahead goal, Panarin lost his chuck. He had him, but he didn't get him quick enough. He overpowered him in the net. Remember, we always say defense is a five-man unit. It's just the two guys on the blue line. And it's the same thing sort of that Peter Laviolette said. It wasn't just the third period. For whatever reason, the desperate Canes came with a game, their last two games. The Rangers couldn't handle the pressure. The Rangers didn't have that extra second to make a pass. The Rangers didn't have that extra second to take a shot. They were all over them. The Rangers are going to have to learn how to deal with this pressure that the Canes are putting on. Now, I'm hoping and I'm anticipating that now the Rangers are going to be the desperate team because they really don't want to go back for Game 7, and they're going to come out with that edge in Carolina. They played well on the road. You get an extra day off, which is very important, I think, to regroup. Someone, please, someone address the Matt Rempe situation for me because I don't understand it. And once we get by all of that, I think you're going to see a really good Game 6. I think they're going to win it and not have to worry about a Game 7. But, guys, everyone's got to relax. The fire of Laviolette, the Panarin sucks. This team wasn't going to keep that 7-game pace. No team does. So that's my thinking on it. It was a team loss magnified by a couple of individual plays, yeah, but they just didn't play good yesterday. Truba, shorthanded goal cannot be the only goal on the score sheet in the playoffs. It's the bottom line. It was a great goal at the time, but now you needed, you know, Panarin to score, Lafayette to score. Cooley's been a little on the quiet side. You know, VC hasn't scored that big goal that we're used to him getting on the fourth line. Goal scorer's got to score. Your big defenseman got to play big defense. You can't expect Igor to make every single save. Because even in the loss, he looked good, but he's only one person. That's it in a nutshell.
Let's go to Carl, but I want to say something real quick to that, RP. And I think Carl said this last week, and I agree with him. When I look at it on five, I think Carolina is the better team. 5-on-5, and this is the reason why Carolina puts up a lot of shots on goal. I think the Rangers, up until this point, have done a great job maximizing opportunities to capitalize, like Lafreniere going Game 3. Things, situations like that where they caught Carolina sort of sleeping, and we take advantage, and we will get them on a power play. And we did a very good job with the penalty kill for a majority of the series. I do think Carolina is the better team 5-on-5, and I think this is the reason why they're back in the series. Carl, your thoughts, and then go to Glenn. I'm going to definitely let you respond on it. Carl, what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, that's, you know, when we went into the series, the body of the series was based on the fact that, and part of the reason why, and actually a big reason really, why Carolina was favored was the 5-on-5 scenario, because the special teams thing, like, you can't account for that. You can't account and just say, all right, convert 40% of our power plays. That's unrealistic in any situation. You can have peaks and valleys through that. Sometimes you might go 10 for 20, and then there's sometimes you go 2 for 20. It comes out to 30%, but how you get there can vary in a lot of cases. And as you've seen over the last, you know, couple of games, you know, the pace that the Rangers have been on for, what, I don't know, 7 games, had sort of, you know, I think they're now one for their last, I think, 9, I believe, if I track from, like, Game 2 on. And, of course, the shorthanded goal. So, like, those in any given game, you can't, like, factor that part of it in. But what you can factor in is whether or not, you know, when the game is just sort of on the level, can you outperform the other team to, you know, with goal scoring? And so far, Carolina's been able to do that. And the only thing that's really holding Carolina back is the fact that, and I don't know how long this is going to continue, I wouldn't want to take my chances on this, is that Carolina has gone, what, 1 for 20 on the power play. The logic suggests that that is going to adjust itself at some point. They are really, really good. Like, that's not a sustainable number. And I remember in Game 4, I don't know if Glenn or RP or Steve, you thought this, when Lindgren took the penalty with 3.5 minutes to go and they won the power play, the first thing I said in my mind, I said, you know, they're 0 for the last 17. Eventually, yep. one of these is going to go in. 20 seconds later, puck goes in. Like, it was almost like a fait accompli at that point. And so you're tempting fate when you're relying or you're over-reliant on special teams to sort of be the bulk of your scoring. As far as sort of the body of the series goes, you know, even after game three, when the Rangers went up 3-0, I've been kind of in my head continuously sort of like pounding the drum beat on this and saying, you know, if I just took a quarter and just threw it into the air and see where it landed, that's essentially how these games have gone. You know, that's why I remember, and I didn't, now, had it came to be in game four, had the Rangers won, you know, won the game and won the series, I remembered that something that Rod Brind'Amour had said last year when they lost the series to Florida in four games. And he said, we lost the series in four games, but we didn't get swept. Now, people sort of made fun of that comment, but what he was essentially saying is that if you just look at the body of the games, they're not playing badly. They're not, they are,
right.
If you would take those performances and just live with the results one way or the other. And just like this year, Carolina in basically in all five games have played well. There has not been one game in the five in which you can say, well, you know, Carolina really sucked tonight. It doesn't exist. So they're essentially saying, listen, they probably, you know what, and the numbers actually do bear this out because I've been tracking this series. They, a case can be made that they should be up in this series, but they're not. But as, and that's why I remember last week when we did the short post game, I remember telling Steve, you and Glenn, I said, you know, the Rangers probably should have to end this thing. If they're going to do this, they probably need to end this in five games because the longer this goes, some of the stuff gets a little bit more pronounced. And that's why going into tomorrow night, I disagree with the RP on the fact that, you know, the Rangers are going to play, you know, the idea obviously is you want to, you know, you play desperate to avoid Game 7. But I feel like that might be like a self-fulfilling prophecy, the idea of we don't want to play Game 7 because then if you lose the game, well, now you face Game 7 and then your mental capacities are all screwed up. And we all know that if we get to Saturday night, what that building is going to be. Hell, they were booing them last night, which, by the way, I'm sorry, I just can't, no. That the Rangers have given us too much. They have not cheated anyone this season, and to receive the reaction that they received in the third period, I was just like, come on, guys, like they deserve a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. I can 2% of me can say, okay, I can understand it, but geez, I mean, for everything that they've done to all of a sudden turn on them that way, I was not happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it goes with the New York fan. I mean, we go to Glenn, but how much did they pay for that ticket? I mean, that there's a factor in all that.
But they chose to pay this price.
But, right. Glenn, your thoughts, and then we'll go back to RP. Glenn, your thoughts on where we are currently up to game six.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, as I figured in just the first go-round, have covered about half of my list. But, I mean, where we are is where you would expect to be. I don't think Carolina has played what I would call a bad game all series. The Rangers, I thought, played a so-so game in game four, I guess it was, and really only so-so because they came back from 2-0 and 3-1 deficits to, you know, tie it back up. And, you know, it was just as Carl said, you just knew when that penalty was called on Lindgren, it's like, this is the time when Carolina's power play is finally going to work. And, of course, it did. Talking about, you know, Steve, you mentioned what is it with the Rangers in Games 5s. I'll go back to the ultimate one. I remember walking into the Garden at Game 5 in the 94 Finals, and everybody's bringing in Stanley Cups, and, you know, we were all confident that it was going to be over that night. We were going to be celebrating. Rangers go down 3-0, and they storm back in the third, make it 3-3. You know, the place is going, oh, we're on a roll now. Here we come. And then Dave Babbitt scores like 30-something seconds later, and the Rangers lose 6-3. So, I mean, that's the ultimate Game 5 failure. But I don't know what you guys think. The Ranger power play, I agree with Carl, it's like one for 9 or 1 for 10. What I feel like I'm seeing is that Carolina is really lining up at the blue line in the last couple of games, where the Rangers are gaining entry fairly easy on the power play and getting a chance to set up. And I think in the last, you know, two and a half games, Carolina's kind of changed that up, and the Rangers are having a hard time getting into the zone to set up. It seems like they're trying to force the puck in. They're trying to skate through that wall, and the puck is getting knocked away. And then, obviously, you know, the way around that is to dump it in and go after it. But they're not winning those battles. They're not winning those races. The puck is coming right back out. And a lot of the power play time has really just gone by chasing the puck back into their own zone. So I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I think that's an adjustment that Carolina has made the last couple of games, and that's really kind of stymied the power play. They just can't get it set up. Once they get in the zone, if they can, they move the puck around back and forth, east-west. I mean, we've all seen it, and that works. But that hasn't been happening. And last night I thought that, I don't want to blame any one player or any one person either, because I think it was a team-wide, like RP said. I mean, Carolina just seemed to throw a blanket over the Rangers last night, and they couldn't kick themselves out of it. I think Laviolette said it after the game. A reporter tried to, talk about one particular issue or something, and Laviolette turned around and said there were a lot of issues, and it was the whole game. And I totally agree with him. I mean, some of the things I heard in the post-game interviews, you know, Trocheck saying they wanted it more than we did. I think that was a message to the team as much as an explanation of what happened. I think he was probably pretty frustrated with how the game went, and I don't know how you can have the other team want it more in your building when you're, 60 minutes away from getting into the Eastern Conference Finals. But we've seen that before. We've seen that in the Tampa series 2 years ago. We saw that against the Devils last year. Man, last night I thought I was watching Game 7 against the Devils again. It was just the same uninspired, getting to loose pucks, not racing to beat Carolina to the puck. It just seemed like, as soon as Trouba scored, and you can disagree with me. I mean, some people are probably not going to think this way. I know Valiquette disagrees with me, and Messier did agree with me after the game that I thought they were trying to win that game 1-0. As soon as Trouba scored, I thought they were trying to win that game 1-0. And they may deny it, but that's what I think they were trying to do, just try to keep the puck out of their end. They were just dumping it out. They weren't skating it out, depending on Igor to make the big save when they needed to. You guys can remind me, but I don't really remember one high-danger shot on Freddie Anderson last night at all. Maybe that one that kind of went through the crease that Kreider tipped on net, I think it was in the first period, but I don't remember a high danger shot on Anderson all night. And even the goal he gave up, that was a terrible goal. If you look at the camera that was behind Trouba when he took the shot, I mean, Freddie Anderson gave him about a third of the net on his right. That to me wasn't even a high danger shot. Trouba took it from the almost the top of the circle, no screen, and it goes right in. So, I mean, last night was just disappointing to me from start to finish. And I just thought it was uninspired. I thought once they got that first goal, they just kind of figured that, all right, we're on our way now. And I was just worried that they were going to try to just hang on, and obviously it didn't work. So here we are going to Game 6, and some of the uneasiness and trepidation is starting to settle in, because if they lose that game, then it's a crapshoot, and that, it shouldn't have gotten to that point when you're up 3-0. So, hopefully Laviolette can make some adjustments, get the team to understand, and I mean, I think they should. This is the same core against Tampa 2 years ago and the Devils last year that blew leads. You would think this team would have a chip on their shoulder and understand that they just can't play like that.
It's fun. You know what? One total. Not too often. Go ahead, Carl, real quick.
I was going to say, to Glenn's point there, because I looked at the number, according to Valiquette's group, his analytics group, one high-danger chance for the night last night.
Mm-hmm. And it was probably that Kreider one.
Yeah. But
and that was the goal. Yes.
But are we surprised at that? See, that's the thing. I don't know if they could skate with this team. I think they could take advantage of this team in spurts like they've done all season. This is no different than what we've seen from the other the games early on in this against them in games 1-3, games 1-4, and even in the regular season. This is how they match up. To me, they are the more aggressive team. They have the more physical forechecking team. The Rangers actually have done a good job against forecheck. They struggled for years against the forecheck, but they've actually done okay. But this is the type of game they're going to allow Carolina to do what they do, a lot of shots against, and Igor's going to have to stop a lot of them. He's been fantastic. Thank goodness Panarin had to read the deflection after giving up the late goal in regulation. That was a great deflection. I know we have to bring that up because that's the reason why we have the lead, because I think we kind of stole game three in a sense. But my whole point, I want to go back to what I was trying to say, and I'll go back to RP. We're looking at this 1-0 game. It's really interesting, or being a 1-0. Glenn, I think that we should have won or tried to win 1-0. The problem is they executed badly defensively. I think if they would have stayed on their assignments, we probably could have went up 2-0, maybe took advantage of a 2-on-1 opportunity. I mean, that's kind of why we had a chance in the series in Carolina in games 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. But shorthand goal opportunities, we got the two shorthanded goal. It was the defensive lapses for me, and especially on the line change, especially not getting up on Jordan Staal. He shouldn't have skated around Braden Schneider like that in a playoff game. He should not have done that. And on top of that, then later on, the same thing with giving too much space to Kota Niemi, who set up the shot where Igor Shesterkin got the save and then the rebound by Kunetsov. But that was, to me, the defensemen weren't up on their guys like that. That's the defensive lapses to me. That's what I saw. I think outside of that, they played an ugly game where they kind of played the same game all series for the most part. And it's been working. It's just the defensive lapses for me. But RP, to your point, I see what you're saying as far as bad overall. I'm with Carl more. This is kind of how Carolina is. Because if we can get through this piece, I think the road is easy. Or easier. I think we won't have as much of a time if we get past Carolina. Because I think it does get easier. I think this is the toughest road to the Stanley Cup is this team. Everybody else is not going to be as difficult. They have some of the other teams have strengths, but it's just the way they get up on you. As far as Carolina skating, it's never ending attacks. I don't think the Rangers can skate with them 5-on-5. They have to take advantages in certain situations, like the Lafreniere goal, the Panarin deflection, Trocheck, all that stuff, man. And that's how I see it. I kind of see it the way Carl sees it. And I'm glad we're up or fortunate to be 3-2 at this point. It's just how we got to this point is kind of weird, though. RP, your thoughts?
I don't know. I just see it a little bit differently. I don't think – obviously the Rangers aren't struggled all year scoring 5-on-5, so that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. But I see them – playing with this team. I see the last two games when I said desperate, Carolina needed to win both of these games, and their desperation overwhelmed the Rangers. For whatever reason, their pressure with and without the puck, they were all over us, 5-on-5, penalty killing, power play. Whether they've made adjustments or they're just digging in a little bit more, I couldn't tell you. But I don't know, maybe I'm just being too optimistic, but I just don't see the Rangers losing the series. Even if it goes to 7 games, which God forbid it does, but I just don't see it that as bad. I think there are some things that he needs to tweak. And I said this earlier, it does not pay for in any way, shape, or form to put Matt Rempe in to play 7 minutes a game and not to play him the entire second half of a hockey game, where now he has to double shift Kreider, Lafreniere, or Panarin. I don't understand that. If you're going to double shift a guy like Panarin, I want to see him playing on the first line and the second line, not covering on the fourth line. And I think it's something that he's got to just put this away and get a player out there that can play what we know that he can play, and he can put him out there in defensive situations. Now, hopefully, Hedl can return tomorrow night from his injury and play in the game, Thursday night, and play in the game. But if not, I'd go back to Brodinski, because at least you know what you can get out of him, and he's played the whole season up here for the most part. I don't understand this. I have to put Rempe in. It's not as physical of a series as what the Capitals series was. Not to say it's not a hard-hitting series, but there isn't the scrums and the fighting and all of that that's going on. And for the life of me, I can't see how he's double shifting from the 10-minute mark of the second period all the way on, and he's putting guys on the fourth line to double shift to cover. If you're going to double shift goal scorers, you got to put them with the players that are going to get them the puck. And it's no knock to VC and Goodrow, but that's not where Lafreniere and Panarin should be double shifting. If I'm going to double shift, I'm going to take Rozovic off the first line for a couple of shifts and give Panarin and Lafreniere a shot with the other two. But because you're got the rental situation, you can't even think of doing that because you don't have enough people to pick up the shifts. So if that's going to be the case, then I think it's time just not to play him. I know he's trying to find the motivation at the guard and all of that, but tomorrow night I want to have Rumpy in the lineup whether Hedo's healthy or not. Yeah, he gives you that little spark and all, but you got to think about what he's done this entire series that Rumpy's been in it. He hasn't seen the ice in the third period and most of the second period in any of these games. So he's going to have to figure out or just face the fact that it's not really working as well as he wants it to work and get players on it that he can use. Because we can't score 5-on-5 as it is, and now you're moving guys all over the place. And to me, Carolina knows that, and they're seeing that as an advantage to them too. So, and I guess the other thing we should talk about is Truba's having a horrible series. I think going into last night's game, he was on for 8 consecutive Carolina goals. So either you got to get him back with Miller, which probably doesn't help Miller's game, or you got to put Jones in for Gustafson. Something needs to change to get his mentality to change. I don't think Gustafson had the best series either. I think Jones, and I've always thought Jones played better than him anyway. But if you're going to make a move in any way, shape, or form, it's tomorrow. It's Thursday night's game. This way, if it doesn't work out, you got one more game to fall back on to figure it out. And other than, you know, tweaking lineups and doing things, I think the Rangers got to do what got them to the President's Trophy. And everyone has to remember, Carolina was only 3 points behind the Rangers. So anyone Indeed. Thought this was going to be a series of 3-0 was fooling themselves. I thought it'd be over and such. However you got there, you know, a lot of these teams are having trouble closing games out. It, the entire playoff is pretty tight and close. And this is just what playoff hockey is. But I got to tell you, some of these people, guys, some of these fans are just a little out of hand. People posting pictures and I'm crying and I'm giving up on the Rangers and Laviolette should be fired and Panarin sucks. Come on, guys. They're a good hockey team.
Even
at
the
they're playing. Let me tell you, that was the last time anybody had something positive to say, and they were still ripping true about how bad he was playing, up 3-0. So you want to know something? Carolina's an incredible hockey team. We all know that. We all see that. You saw it, especially the last 2 games. They could have, you know, they could have caved and just quit, and they didn't. But the Rangers are a good hockey team. I think everybody's forgetting that because of all the miscues that have happened the last 2 contests. They know how to win. They know how to stop losing streaks. Up until this point, Laviolette has pushed all the right buttons for the most part. Adversity, as I think Glenn said earlier, adversity is something you need to win the Stanley Cup. You need to find a way to overcome these kind of games. They have the team to do it. So I think everyone's just got to let the team figure it out, and let's just see if they can not steal a win, just winning Game 6 and move on. And if not, then winning Game 7 and move on. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how they do it. Yeah, it would suck to blow a 3-0 lead, but if we won a 7-game series, we wouldn't be like, oh, well, they blew a 3-0 lead. We'd be like, all right, we're going to the Eastern Conference Final. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters right now. Momentum and all of that's important, but they just have to play their game. And I'm really a big fan of the scheduler right now because I think that extra day off really helps the Rangers kind of settle down a little bit. Every other night, and now Carolina has momentum. They're going back home. I think that extra day off, he gave the team a day off today totally. I think that helps everybody.
I got a quick question for you, and we'll go to Carl, but real quick question. You kind of said it a little bit during the regular season, the 3 points that we were up on them in the standings, and we knew where Carolina was at the beginning of the year with all their injuries. And I say we go back to the early in the year when we had the difference in why we are where we are with the results is because of that Canada trip, the five wins out west, basically, early in the year. And I think that really got us, you know, the advantage of home ice. But my question to you, RP, with this series right now, do you want to continue to play the game where Carolina just is giving so much pressure to Igor? night after night with a lot of shots on goal? Or are we going to roll with that formula, or do you want to adjust that formula where you want to range and take chances? I definitely want to get Carl and Glenn's thoughts on there. I just don't think we can escape with them for 60 minutes outside of a special team situation like a power play. I just think they're just more of the forechecking team that's just probably the most problem remaining in the playoffs. What are your thoughts on that, RP? The formula on attacking Carolina game six or a possible game seven if Carolina wins game six. How do you want to go about offensively generating offense?
You can't sit back. They haven't sat back all year. You can't sit back now. And I'm not saying you want to go toe-for-toe with them, but like we said, when he came out in the third period yesterday, we were a man down. Carolina had the power play. The Rangers killed it off, and we were like, all right, we killed it off the power play. Now let's go get going. And instead, they sat back. You can't sit back. They're going to score. It's impossible to sit back against this team and think, oh, we can hold a one-goal lead, whatever the one goal is, 3-2, 4-3, 1-0. You have to keep attacking. You got to play your game that got you where you were this whole season. Is it harder against the LA Kings? Yes, but they can beat them. They can beat them in their style of hockey game. I don't think this whole theory of there's only so much that you can change. You sort of got to go with got you here, too. And with got the Rangers here, too, is their hard forecheck? Is their scoring when their top six is playing their game? The last two games, they didn't play their game. But let's remember something. If you go back to the regular season, guys, the Rangers were on a 9-game winning streak. Now they've lost two in a row, which happens quite often in the regular season, too. The Rangers normally don't get caught in the quicksand. They're normally able to pull themselves out after something like that. That's what Thursday night's game is. You don't want to go into a three-game losing streak into a game seven.
Right, no doubt. Now, Carl, what about you? What do you think the Rangers' formula is to defeat Carolina? Do you think they could skate with Carolina, or how do they get out of Game Six with a win, Carl? Or what are your thoughts? Or is it going to go to Game Seven?
Well, you know, the formula that I thought that's going to be in play tomorrow was actually what I thought was going to be in play last night, in which essentially Igor was going to have to steal a victory. And there have been a number of times in Carolina, I think in the last 2 years, you guys can probably remember some of these games, where the disparity in attempts and shots have been so drastic, yet the Rangers either squeak out a 1-0 or a 2-1 victory up there. I'm thinking of a game like 2 years ago. I think they were maybe out of attempted something along the lines of like 90-30, but got a couple of lucky bounces. I'm trying to envision a scenario in which the Rangers kind of get a clean 3-1 game out of this tomorrow night, and I don't totally see it because Carolina has basically been playing on sort of a straight line. There has not been a valley that you can sort of exploit in the game. So I'm thinking this might just have to be a stolen win situation. That's not an ideal scenario. You know, you're going to be biting your fingernails. With maybe 10 minutes to go in the game, that might be how it plays out. And actually, you know, to Glenn and RP's point, you know, when that third period was going on, and I was thinking to myself, I said, boy, I'm just trying to see, like, all right, can they shave off a minute here, a minute there, a minute here, a minute there? Just because I was thinking, I was like, I think 1-0 might just be the number, because the fact is they weren't generating enough opportunities to start with during the course of the first two periods. So once you sort of realize what was going on for the first 40 minutes offensively, in my head, I was like, okay, the Rangers are probably not going to score 3 or 4 goals tonight. That's not going to happen. So if that's not going to happen, and you're seeing what's happening on the other end with some of the saves that Shesterkin was making, the only conclusion I could have drawn was that, you know what, the story of the game would have been like Carolina threw the kitchen sink at the Rangers, and Igor just was Superman, and the Rangers stole the game 1-0. Like that was the game story that I was building in my head right up until the slowest goal I've ever seen, where Jordan Staal looked like he was sort of slow as molasses as he was getting past Schneider and made that goal. It seemed like it was the slowest developing play I'd ever seen in my life when it happened in real time. But that was something I was thinking. You know, now you hear about these random injuries that might be coming about. Adam Fox. The Banajet took a stick to, I believe, to the ribs. I have to verify if that's mm-hmm. that's what I was hearing. Mm-hmm. Things start piling up all of a sudden now, And, you know, a sort of a larger point, and I think where some of the apprehensive RP is coming from the fans, unfortunately, because of what they saw 2 years ago with the 2-0 lead, what they saw last year against New Jersey with the 2-0 lead, with this basically same core guts of players. And if, you know, listen, we don't know what the, do I think that they've learned their lessons well? I'll save that for my final thought because there's something I'm thinking about in regards to that. So you see this opportunity, you figure, okay, third time, you've been through this sort of rigmarole before. You figure you know what it takes to say, all right, let's make a stand. Obviously, you're facing a great team, and because it didn't get done, and in the fashion that it didn't get done, has folks sort of on edge. And you know what? The Rangers, it's really on the Rangers this time to alleviate those concerns, because the history right now, based on the last 2 years, is not on their side to give other fans that might be, you know, putting them at an arm's length based on what they've seen these last, let's just say the last game, not the game four, but just this last game that has set up this situation, you know, kind of tense, you know, at tense. And Steve could probably attest to this too. You know, those that are like harkening back to the, you know, the 04 ALCS, you know, the way that one developed, kind of similar to the way this one is developed. Like, both teams are great teams. The Yankees just happened to go up 3-0 and were this close to basically putting the series away in the fourth game. It didn't happen. It probably should have happened the next day. It didn't happen. And all of a sudden, by the time you realized it, it was, holy shit, we've got a seventh game here. And so that's where I think a lot of this sort of, I referred to it today to someone as 2004 PTSD. And so, you know, that's where, you know, that's where I think this comes from in hell. LaViolette was the coach of a team that came back from 3-0, because I vividly remember that series. And it actually has a lot of eerie similarities to what is happening right now. We could talk about that later. But that the way the series has played out, Peter could tell you, based off of what he experienced 14 years ago.
That's a fair comparison. Two quick questions before we go to Glenn. That's a great comparison. I didn't think about that, but subconsciously, if you're a Yankee Ranger combo fan, that's probably subconsciously in your mind. So you could put that Carolina squad comparably to the situation with the 04 Red Sox. You could do that. They're both great teams. Great teams. Here's my question for you, Carl. With the Carolina side of things, and I was saying this, if the Rangers get past Carolina, is this the toughest test remaining in front of them? I mean, there's other great teams remaining, but I think Carolina's the biggest roadblock in front of that cup. What are your thoughts on that? And number two, what other scenarios, you know, you picture a lot of scenarios as far as getting out of it, whether game six, game seven. Is there any unsung situations that we may not be expecting that we could probably see in game six or game seven for the Blue Shirts to prevail? Those are my two quick questions, and then we'll go to Glenn.
As far as this being the toughest test, before the playoffs started, I put the Rangers, Carolina, and Florida basically with a 33% chance of in terms of power. On the opposite side, the Dallas Stars to me are the only team in the West that can win. I think everybody else is flawed, and it's going to play itself out. You're watching the series right now. Colorado's basically shot. Vancouver, goaltending issues, even though they're up 2-1. And Edmonton, unfortunately, have goaltending issues as well. Some of the goals that Skinner is allowing for Edmonton it's just been awful. That doesn't, unfortunately,
out, so
they should be winning. They should be in control of that series, but they're not. And that's probably going to, they'll be done soon enough. So it's really between Dallas, Carolina, Florida, and the Rangers. Those are the only four teams, and basically those you could take out a hat, and I think each of them have an equal percent chance of winning the cup in terms of difficulty. To say that the Florida Panthers would be a lesser opponent than Carolina, I disagree with that completely. I think that Florida would be a tremendous challenge, just as much as Carolina is, they in terms of just sheer sort of, the word I want to use is brutality. Let's just put it that way. And physicality they bring to these games in addition to the skill. And I would not – I think Florida – actually, I believe Florida would be favored again in a series against the Rangers, 100%.
All right. Glenn, your thoughts? Anything else you'd like to add? And we'll get extended final thoughts from everybody, especially around the rest of the NHL. But, Glenn, anything else from games 1 through 5, upcoming game 6, and possible game 7? Matter of fact, Glenn, also within your thoughts, what was your reaction after winning game 3? I mean, you had to be on cloud 9, right?
Well, you know, Steve, I mean, I think sometimes we lose track of how precarious that 3-0 lead was. I mean, you're talking about 2 overtimes where, you know, Trocheck just swats at a kind of a loose scramble in front, a fortuitous bounce on a power play. And then you have the Panarin just extraordinary, impossible tip-in to win game 3. So, you know, those games were that close. And, you know, if they had gone the other way, we'd be talking about the Rangers' golf handicaps tonight. You know, these are two teams, like Trocheck said after the game last night. You know, this is a team that finished 3 points behind us after we had a record-breaking season. And that's how close these two teams are. As far as, you know, how I think they need to play game 6, I don't think after, 91 games now, that you can really change the way you play. I think that, you know, you make adjustments along the way, but I think the Rangers are what they are. You know, this is a team that has always come back after a stinker and played really well. You know, I think they can still do that tomorrow night. I want to touch on what RP said, though, about maybe putting Jones in for Gustafson. With the series Trouba is having, unfortunately, you can't demote him to a fourth defensive pairing. So they're going to have to figure out something to maybe get his head back in the game. And maybe putting Jones out there, he's got a little more speed. He's a little bit better with the puck. Gustafson, like we said, hasn't had a great series either. So I wouldn't mind seeing that change. And as far as, you know, the other change, hopefully Philip Hedl is ready. I mean, unless you're going to put Rempe out there to beat the crap out of Tony DeAngelo, then why is he here in, you know, in this series? We said before it started that what he brings probably isn't what the Rangers need in this series. And if for some reason Hedl can't go, I'd rather see Brzezinski as well. I think he can contribute more, you know, defensively and also, you know, in a minutes situation, so you don't have to double shift a lot of guys. You know, and just one other thing I would mention, Steve. You know, you had said about trying to win the game 1-0. I mean, I understand doing that. You know, you figure that Carolina is going to start to press, and maybe you can take advantage of some odd man rushes. And you know, Freddie Anderson, to me, I mean, the goaltending advantage that the Rangers have is huge in this series. I don't think Freddie Anderson has really been that great. He's let in a couple of pretty terrible goals. Really deflating goals for Carolina. You know, the problem with doing that is, and we've seen it so many times, when you got a one-goal lead and you're trying to protect it like that, and then the other team ties it up, as Carolina did fairly early in the third period, you see teams have a hard time trying to reestablish their game. You know, it just seems to kind of steamroll a little bit where, you know, you're backing off trying to play defense, and then you just can't turn it on again you know, put forth a good offensive effort. So, you know, I don't know that they should have tried to win that game 1-0, although, you know, Igor has stolen a couple of games too, and you figure he might be able to do it again. But, you know, I thought they – and I agree. It was defensive breakdowns. It was unforced errors, turnovers – you know, that caused those things to happen. So, yeah, maybe they might have been able to eke it out 1-0 without those errors. But I always think it's dangerous, especially when you're trying to do it for 30 minutes against a team that can skate and is as skilled as Carolina is. So, you know, I don't know that was the best way to go. Obviously, you know, hindsight is 100%, and, you know, now we can say that it didn't work, but I don't know that was the way to go about it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing about that, Glenn, is there's nothing since game 1 where I saw where the Rangers was putting a lot of offensive pressure. I mean, you even hear Laviolette in between games say that we need to be more in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
He said this literally live in games when they interview him. Like, the Rangers are not generating any pressure. Everything since period number one in game one has been pressure from Carolina. It's the Rangers who's been taking advantage of with the shorthanded opportunities or odd man rushes. And there was even one period we almost had two shorthand goals in the same penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, we're taking advantage there, you know? So that's kind of how I look at it. I think if they stay to where we are, we could get one out of two out of this. RP, let's get some extended final thoughts. If you want, you know, blue shirts and then rest of the series as well. Same with Carl and Glenn. But you know, listen, I'm still happy that we're up 3-2. This is how we are at this point. Was kind of not what I expected, but 3-2, nothing less in our advantage with one game out of two to close it out. RP, your thoughts, and then Carl, and then Glenn, your final thoughts.
Oh, I guess the first thing is we were talking about how the Rangers can capitalize on things from against Carolina. You guys have to look at the goaltending. Freddie Anderson is horrible when the puck is at his feet or 3 feet in front of him. Valaket said it. Lundqvist said it. The Rangers need to start shooting the puck lower and get for those rebounds, because when the puck is close in and he's got to look down to find it, he's horrible. The deflections that we've scored, the quick rebound goals that we scored, the bank shots that we scored shows that. And that's something the Rangers have to try to utilize. They try to attack. I don't know. I think everyone's chewed down on the Rangers play. However we got there, shorthanded goals, power play goals, lucky bounces, 3-2, and that's going to have to come into that game six like they're going to win it. I don't think playing scared hockey is going to get them anywhere. I just think the Rangers coming out flying in the beginning, take it to the Hurricanes and see where we're at. I don't think by any stretch of imagination the Rangers are a bad hockey team or the Rangers can't beat Carolina one out of the next two games. Maybe that's me being pessimistic for a change, which is highly unusual, I know, but it's just the feeling I have. I just never feel, at least in this playoff, that they're out of it. I think it's too much emphasis on blown two-game series leads and three-game series leads. Yes, it's happened to many teams. The Rangers didn't, it didn't happen to the Rangers in the Capitals series. They just sort of put that team in a bed. They played a horrible game, a horrible third period. Let's not forget they were down 3-1 after the first period in game four and battled all the way back until, you know, just that last fight, late power play. So they can do it. I have confidence that they can do it. And I just think they have to just play their game. It's something simple sometimes like that. Just play your hockey game. Carolina is a faster team. Everybody's about a 5-on-5 team against the Rangers scoring-wise. It's not a surprising problem. We've talked about it on this podcast the entire season. But with that, the Rangers still find ways to win and play their style of game, and they'll be, they're going to come out of the series. I'm confident of it. Really quick, all the other series have been good. Did you guys see the cross-check that Connor McDavid took from Saucy the other night? At the end of the game, when the buzzer sounded, I thought we were trying to get rid of these hard headshots, and he only gave him a one-game suspension. I don't know. He could have broke his jaw. If it was a little low, he could have hurt his larynx, his throat. I don't understand player safety. That entire division needs to be revamped, because if you want to get rid of these dangerous hard hits, you need to penalize these players, and you penalize and suspend them 3 games in the playoffs. That is a huge suspension. It's not like 3 games in a regular season. I don't understand the one game. I really don't, for the life of me. I'm sure if Scott was here, he'd be blasting him too. It was a vicious, vicious cross check. The horn already sounded. The game was over. And for one game, it's just laughable. And it makes the NHL look really bad. Other than that, I'm hoping Boston here can take this to another game. They're up 2-1 at the end of the second. The Dallas game's been great. I mean, Colorado doesn't look like Colorado. And with the Edmonton, the other thing with the Edmonton series, they bench Skinner to go on. I think his name is Picard, whoever their backup goalie is, because a former Ranger, Coach Knobloch, said it straight out, and I give him credit for in the playoffs, we need more saves to win the series. So he called Skinner out right there, and then he made the change. Whether it works or not, you got to give him credit for having the balls to do it in the playoffs. So kudos to him. I thought it was, I think it's the right move. Skinner's looked horrible, and he cost him leads. You know, most of the wins Vancouver has had. So, you follow me on Empire Sports Media Inside the Rink. I'm writing when I can, and next week we will be talking about advancing to the ECF.
That's what I'm talking about. Hell yeah!
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The RP.
Oh,
thanks, boss. Carl, your final thoughts, and then same thing from Glenn.
Yeah, you know, as we go into tomorrow night, I'm picturing the story in my head when the game is over. You know, the Rangers have had a big lead on Carolina during the regular season. Carolina tried to chase them down. They got close, but never could get over the hump. And I'm figuring that in one of these next two games, the Rangers hold them off. And much like what you saw during the regular season, Carolina got close. They got closer. They got really, really close. But in the end, they were held off. And that's my thinking going into tomorrow or even into Saturday. However it plays out, that's how I'm looking at it. You know, there's no other choice now. I mean, the series mm-hmm. probably should have ended last night when there was 1-0 with, you know, 17 minutes to go in the game. But, you know, it's the only way you can look at it going forward here. As you look at the other series, you know, RP mentioned it about, you know, Vancouver. You know, it's weird. Vancouver a couple of years ago, you know, they were basically playing in front of, like, you know, 60% capacity in their building. There was pressure about the organization. And here they are, you know, two wins away from the Western Conference final. It's quite the turnaround for them in a short period of time. Edmonton, it's going to be another year where they just kind of come up, I think, just short. I'm not totally sure, you know, how they evaluate if they end up losing this particular series, because this is one that they should not lose. And unfortunately, it'll be a disappointing defeat if it comes out that way. They lost to Vegas last year in the same round, and to lose to Vancouver, that's a dicey situation for them. On the other side, the Dallas Stars, hey, listen, what can you say? They, you know, in that series, there has been, I saw this yesterday after the game was over. They played 160 minutes and 22 seconds of game time in the four games. Colorado has had a lead 0% of the time. None. Zero. the only time that they took the lead is when they came back from 3-0 down in the first game. Since that, throughout the entire bulk of the series, they have been completely controlled. And unfortunately, they had the situation that you saw. You probably saw it last night before the game. The leading goal scorer in the postseason was suspended for 6 months because of, I believe it's a drug issue. It's the third time now that he is going there's a program that the league has, and that took him out of the lineup last night. You could see it on they're basically one of the same team, and they'll probably get finished off tomorrow night at the American Airlines Center, which will then set up a scenario where you could have, at least for me, you know, have both the hockey team and the basketball team in the conference final if the basketball team does their job. They're two wins away as well. And then on the Boston, Florida side, I don't know if you guys saw this. Oh, you know what? Let me piggyback on that Edmonton thing, RP. The cross check and then the hit to his upper body was this is the counter argument that's come out about this, is that it was precipitated by McDavid instigating the situation. Now, I saw I've seen the video. He did instigate the situation, which caused the reaction. Was it extreme? Yes, but. Like that's a gray area right there, but not as gray as the Sam Bennett play on Brad Marchand. I don't know if you guys saw this. So on Friday, Marchand appears mm-hmm. to get hit into the and goes down. No, the camera doesn't kind of show what exactly happened. It looked like he just kind of took a hit, but it takes 48 hours for another angle to come about where Bennett basically takes his right fist as both of them are coming up a board and basically drills him, has knocked them out for the last two games because he's been having a quote unquote upper body injury. Concussion is another word for that. And this is the same. He made that same move last year against Toronto against another player and gave him a concussion as well. No penalty, no fine, nothing. Now, I don't know what to make of that. The league apparently thinks it's clean play. I don't know if I would agree with that. I would say, let's put it this way. next week when we all have a discussion about, you know, potentially the conference final, he would be my number one target to say, hey, watch out for this guy taking, you know, taking shots at Ranger players, because clearly he's getting away with it. Now, the Bruins, I believe, are up 2-1 right now, so perhaps they can extend the series an extra day, because rumor has it that if the Rangers win the series on Thursday, the Eastern Conference Final would start 48 hours from that moment on Saturday night. Now, I don't know if I agree I'm for that, but you know, you kind of would like a little bit of extra rest that we were hoping to potentially get as of Saturday or Monday, but that might not be the case for television purposes. So that's what we're looking at here as we come up on Thursday night and then potentially Saturday.
All right, cool, man. Thank you very much, Carl. Glenn, final thoughts. We got only a couple more minutes. If you could give us your final thoughts, Blue Shirts and the rest of the league. I'll take about 3 minutes, and I'll close it out in the last minute.
Okay, yeah. I'm watching the Boston Florida game, and I see between periods that P.K. Subban borrowed the jacket that our coach had on last night, which was another unforced error that I forgot to mention. But but anyway, yeah.
That's
going
great.
Going around the league, it may have happened before, but I can't remember a playoff series where two teams have their goaltending situation in such flux as Vancouver and Edmonton. Now, I thought when Demko went down that Vancouver was going to, have trouble even maybe getting past Nashville. But this kid, Shvilovs, has come in, and I don't know where he came from, but he's done a really great job, and he's done a great job in the earlier games here against Edmonton, against a high-powered offense. So we'll have to see what happens with the goaltending situation in Edmonton. We always kind of thought all season that was – going to be an Achilles heel for them, and it's popping up again in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens. Boston, Florida, I mean, you guys know, I never believed in Boston all season long with all those charity points and everything that they got. You know, it was kind of an illusion that they were in contention for the division title and all. And, you know, now with Marchand out, I'm not surprised that Florida is kind of putting it to them, although, you know, they might pull out the game tonight. But from a Ranger standpoint, Florida scares me. Maybe not scares me, but concerns me. They're really good, too. They got a lot of speed. They're big. They hit. They got an enormous amount of talent with Tkachuk and Barkov and Verhaeghe and obviously Reinhardt. Bob is playing really well. So Florida worries me if we're talking about a Ranger-Florida conference final. Now we'll go to the Stars, which our resident expert Carl could probably talk a little more about maybe next week. But I am very impressed with the way the Stars have just bottled up a team like Colorado. Colorado, you can see them going to the bench. They're frustrated. They can't get anything going. They're just not used to that. Is that a character for them? And I think they're having a tough time handling it. And I think the Stars are going to finish them off. And I agree with Carl. I think the Stars are another team that is really at this point a favorite to win the Cup as well. I am so impressed with them. They've got a great combination of veterans and younger talent. Wyatt Johnston, I think, is going to be a real star in this league. Stankoven, I don't know where he came from, but he's playing great too. I really love Robertson. I think Ottinger is a top goalie in the league. We talk about the Rangers having everything to win the Cup, but I tell you, Dallas has everything they need to win the Cup too, including a good coach. So I think if the Rangers are lucky enough to get to the finals, that's going to be another tough team to get through. So interesting how the league is going. And then lastly, I'll just say
real quick.
Go ahead. I'll save it for next week. We'll see what happens. I'll save it for next week.
I know. Real quick, give me one or two sentences we're about to say because we're about to close out.
About the what? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Quick point. What you're about to say? I didn't mean to cut you off, but at the time, it was the time. So yeah, what were your thoughts? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to kind of have a fun thought that I thought maybe you kind of put the jinx on a couple of cities last week when you asked which combination has the best chance of both getting to the finals. I mean, the Boston, forget about the Bruins. Dallas, the Mavs are 2-2. They might be good. The Knicks, with all their injuries, I'm not sure they're going to be able to get past the Pacers. And Denver, you definitely put the hex on the Avalanche. So maybe we want to stay
way
away
to go,
from this
Steve.
Kind of
way
question.
To go.
I think you hit the jigs on some of those cities last week, Steve.
A lot of people
so
wrote,
we can blame Steve.
Off.
Thanks, Steve.
A lot of people wrote off Dallas, and Dallas is looking good right now, man. So
yeah.
The crazy thing about that question, guys, is RP. Hopefully, in a week, we could discuss our advancement in the playoffs. We'll see. Be checking you out inside the rink, and as well as Rangers Twitter. I definitely got time for that. So we'll have some fun with that. Okay, guys, got to go. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Hopefully Blue Shirts close it out, and it's not going to be easy, but they got to play us too. All right, guys, song grace to ladies and gentlemen. We Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.